Joshua chapter 1. And we'll read from the first verse down to verse 11. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua. The son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. The title of the message this evening is this: Different Men Sent by One with One Message. Different men sent by one with one message. In these days of franchises being the almost the only place that you can find food of a certain price, or coffee and tea to go out and drink tea or coffee, or to go and have a hamburger or something like that, you can only generally find that, in a general sense, franchises. And the interesting thing I learnt some years ago was this. A well-known burger chain, not giving them the advertisement, the free advertisement, perhaps the most well-known burger chain, I noticed that the same burger chain when I travelled up to the furthest northern city in the United Kingdom, Inverness. I went in there and asked for the same product that I would have asked for here down in London, and it was exactly the same. Not a change. Nothing was different. The accents of the people were very different. The people serving, although they do say in Inverness they have a better English command of the English language than some people from England. Well, perhaps looking at me, listening to me, perhaps that was the case. But I found it fascinating that wherever you go, even around the world, perhaps the United States excluded, because they have their own particular way of doing things there, and it came from there. But wherever you go in the world, you could go to Russia, you could go to France, you could go to Singapore and ask for the same burger, and it will taste exactly the same. Everything laid out as it is in the manual. Oh, I hate places like that, where you can't ask for something different. Where the assistant almost goes into a spontaneously combusts because it's not in the manual. How do I do it? They've asked me for an extra strong coffee, or for a properly strong coffee, and they say, do you want an extra shot? No, I just want a proper strong coffee. But there's a lot to be said for sticking to that which has been prescribed. In the medical world, you would expect to go from one GP to another, and hopefully they'll have had the same training. You wouldn't think to go from one end of the country to another and find two GPs that one doesn't have the same understanding of the human anatomy and how the body works as the other one does. You'd be worried, to put it mildly, wouldn't you, if someone did not know how to prescribe the correct medicines. So there is a place for uniformity. We see in these words of Scripture so much, as ever throughout the Old Testament, we see so much telling us of our Lord Jesus Christ and how he goes before his army, his people, his church, strengthening them in his great might and power. Marching on, or as the Holy Spirit says in Philippians 3, to press on, to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Every day, if you be in Christ, every day as believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, as disciples of the Son of God, following the Saviour, every day, the journey we have embarked upon by faith, that which is towards heaven's glory, there you have it, Wickham. That which is towards heaven's glory, the heavenly country, that which is towards the country, the city made without hands, whose founder and maker is God, that which we have embarked upon, the perfect Canaan which is prefigured here. We have no interest in looking at details of an earthly Canaan this evening. The perfect Canaan grows nearer and nearer daily. Whether it be the days of our physical earthly life running out, and we not know when that is, or that day which certainly hastens on quickly, that is of Christ's return to judge the earth and to take his elect home with him. Safely gathered into that heavenly Canaan which he promised to his people. Not in time, but before the world began. Firstly, see here tonight. See here in this verse 11, verse 10 rather, where Joshua, we see Joshua commanded the officers of the people. The officers of the people, or the overseers of the people. They had indeed, we see, Moses had indeed previously set officers over the different tribes to minister to them. There was a vast number of people here, remember. And Joshua calls certain men. We see the calling of certain men unto a certain purpose. Joshua calls particular men to pass on his command to the people. That's what he says. He commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying. He gave them the words to say. He gave them the word, which was the command given by Joshua. They were to be his mouthpiece unto the people. That they should receive the very words of Joshua. That those people who heard the words of these officers should hear what Joshua had commanded. That was their task. That was their mission. That was their calling. Christ, we read in Acts 1:8, he sent forth his apostles. And he said to his apostles, after his resurrection and shortly before his glorious ascension on high, we see that he sent forth his apostles, to whom he said, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And indeed today these words of Christ, recorded for us by the Holy Spirit, the gospel of his grace, continue to go forth. They continue to go forth. That continues to be the command. As he said in that great declaration in Matthew 28, teaching them everything that I have taught you, making disciples of the nations. That which is recorded for us by the Spirit of God in the Word of God, the gospel of God's grace, the church is given the responsibility still to proclaim. That is the responsibility. That is the responsibility. Saying, thus saith the Lord. The church of Jesus is made up of many members. Male and female, we read. Galatians 3 tells us male and female, old and young, from various backgrounds, from the four corners of the earth. All are one in Christ Jesus the Lord. That is absolutely certain. But not all members of the body are a leg or an arm or an eye. God indeed gave gifts unto men. All one in Christ, yet Christ has called particular men to serve him in the privileged position of bringing the word of God and leading the people. As surely as Joshua did here. These were certain men. These were certain men. Certain men, officers. They were given this task. Not all men were given this task. They may have been willing men. There may have been willing men who were, their heart was in the right place, if you like, we use that terminology. But they were not appointed by Joshua. That's not to their detriment. That's just that they were not called to that task. And what so we see here, God does the calling. Whatever that task is, in fact. Whatever that task is that we are called to do, God is the one who calls. This is the lesson here. Christ has called particular men to serve him in bringing the word of the gospel. Such men are gifted, not with their own gifts. We tend to, in our lingo, say gifts and talents. No, we've got talents. Many people have got talents in this world. The scriptures don't talk about gifts and talents. It talks about the gift. It talks about the gift. Because these gifts are from God. These gifts are from God particularly for the work of the gospel. A gymnast is gifted in gymnastics. You don't really want to see me attempting gymnastics. But sadly, in the pulpits today, there's men, if I can say this, who are very gifted at verbal gymnastics. Or should I say, they have a talent for it, but they have no gift for bringing the word of God. Yes, Christ has called his men to bring his message and his message alone, no one else's message. Gifted to preach this word, and their call, and this goes against what so many things we've all been taught over the years and perhaps believed. But I'm willing to be corrected. I'm always willing to be corrected if someone can show me from the word of God. But I believe their call, as these men here, was from Joshua. Is from the greater Joshua. The call of God's man to preach his word today comes from no one else but God himself, from Jesus Christ, who is the one prefigured here in Joshua. Not so called, not called by a church. Beware if a church calls someone. It usually be because they're happy with him. I think there should be alarm bells when a church is totally happy with a man. Now that was prayed for tonight, I believe. We should be exercised with sin. Well, if a man goes with, as they love to say, with a view to go to a pastorate, I don't believe any of them ever will say anything but a neutral message that keeps everyone on board. No one's going to offend. No, not called by church. These men weren't called by the great congregation of Israel here. They were called by Joshua, God's man, who is indeed, as we see, he is the type of Christ. Not called by the church. Because this is such an awesome responsibility, you see. Called by the Lord alone. Ephesians 4:11 is clear. Where in Ephesians 4 does it say the church gave some pastors and teachers? Where does it say that? Does it say that? Does it say the church interviewed pastors and teachers? Now, I know there comes a point where we are to be indeed those who are discerning to see if the gift is there. But that's given to the spiritual men who are already in the ministry. I'm sorry. Well, I'm not sorry. It's not the position of the congregation. It's the position of the spiritual men to know. They have been given this role to raise up men under the direction of God. No, Ephesians 1:11 says, he, Christ, gave. What did he give? He gave many gifts. Many of them have ceased to be, namely prophets. Some pastors and teachers. And notice, not some pastors, some teachers. One man. He's the pastor and the teacher. He does both. The pastor who is the teacher, the overseer. To what end? To what end? Verse 12 of Ephesians 4. For the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of God's people, of God's elect, God's called out ones. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. To lampoon the people. Not to make a people who would follow after him. Not to whip people into action. Not to chase after people. But for the building up of the body of Christ. To strengthen and build up God's elect. To feed them with the good word of God. Indeed, it is so awesome a responsibility that we are told the leaders of the people truly, when faced with the very thought of it, that they know themselves to be being called, their first thought is, if they are wise, is to be as Jonah and run away as far away as you can, if you can, which you can't. But those were the wise words I was told a few years ago. In your right mind, you'll run away as far as you can. Then you know, whether you're being dragged back by God. For we read indeed in Hebrews 13 that such men are those who look. They indeed watch out over your souls as those who must give an account. Not to the church, not an interview with the church to see how they're getting on, not appraisal with the deacons. Must give an account to God Almighty. I'm almost thinking of running out this very second right now. I don't say that flippantly. That's such severe words. Who are these men prefigured even here in Joshua 1? Such as those who handle the word of God. Like these scribes or overseers, as it can be put. The preacher of the word raised up by Christ. These are prefigured here. And Paul instructs Timothy and all who know themselves to be called of God to the work of the preaching of the gospel of his grace. He admonishes Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. We're not in the business of pleasing man. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, rightly proclaiming what God has said, interpreting scripture with scripture, not contradicting what God has said. 2 Timothy 2:15. This is the true preacher of God's word. But secondly, we see here different groups and congregations there are who make up the whole. Sure, these people were in the same geographical place. But I think sometimes when we think on these vast numbers of people in Scripture, we kind of forget just how large the number was. Just how vast, how enormous it was. Joshua, how long would it take Joshua to go round one after another to take this word? We read here, yes, there were different groups, the different tribes and the different sub-tribes. Just as indeed the church today, there are many congregations that make up the whole congregation of God. The company of God's church. And as we think of these vast numbers that were camped at the borders of Canaan, on the other side of the River Jordan, vast numbers from among the tribes of Israel. So God has his people in congregations, some small, some larger, in various places around this world. Let alone around this country. And he has raised men up in these places and continues to raise men up. And that should be our prayer always, that they should never be content, and congregations should never be content to not have a man in situ who is God's man, who indeed is there consistently proclaiming the word of God. Never content to have itinerant ministries coming continually as a permanent thing. He has raised up men. He's promised to raise up men. And so we pray on this line. He has raised up men in these places, overseers, to bring the word of Jesus Christ, who is the antitype of Joshua, who is the type of Christ. He's the fulfillment of what we see in the Old Testament, even in Joshua. See, this is what the apostles, especially the apostle Paul, did. The apostle Paul had a vast mission field. A vast mission field. Some places he stayed about a year and a half or more. But he didn't stay there permanently. And he did not set up the church of the apostle Paul. Obeying the command of Christ, he set up pastors in many places. Acts 14:23 says, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord. on whom they believed. Yet the message, as we see here in Joshua, the message was to be the same message. Just think about it. If those officers of the people, if just one went to the group of people that he was sent to and changed the message in any way. Disastrous. The message was the same. It was to be the same. No variation, no toning down, no dumbing down, as today we see. Or seeking to make Joshua's message to the people, more contemporary to our age. More contemporary to what this tribe wants and that tribe wants. No, the message was the same message. How we've moved from that today. How confusion. I was about to say reigns, but it doesn't reign. For our God reigns. He's on the throne. We're perplexed. But don't be. He says, clearly in his word, that of these false teachings, of heresies, they must be. He's ordained it. It's his will. Heresies must be. That those who are indeed of the truth, that we will know them. That we will know those who are of the truth and that those who are not of the truth. They came out from amongst us because they were not of us. We don't want to say that today. We don't want to say that. Because that is going to cause us, that's going to cost us, friends, and that's also going to cost us the very fact that we must just face up to the fact that there are some who are preaching Antichrist. We've been looking at this on a Wednesday night. These are challenging words. But the message remains the same. God doesn't change, neither does his message. The message was to be word for word the same. Now you can imagine Joshua saying, I put words in his mouth obviously here, but you can imagine Joshua saying here, be sure to tell the people everything. Everything. Everything I said to you. He commanded them, didn't he? Everything that I said to you. And do not change a thing. Do not change a word. Do not change a syllable. As the scripture tells us that we must proclaim the word of God line upon line, precept upon precept. And we don't depart from the old paths. The word preached today, because we know this is not so. The word preached today, that which professes to be the gospel message, proclaimed in all professed churches of God, professing to be the church of God, professing to be those who believe in sovereign grace, were the same. No ambiguity or turning from right or left. The Apostle Paul clearly teaches that you speak the same thing. If McDonald's can do it, why cannot the Church of Christ be the same wherever we are found? But we are not selling anything. It shows a lack of faith, I believe, indeed, because people want to look at numbers. They want to look at what they perceive as success, as opposed to whether God is in that work. Thirdly and lastly, the people were to be commanded to take provisions, supplies of food. This is a curious verse, and not many commentators would even tackle it, because it doesn't really go into any great details other than they were to take supplies. But obviously we are looking at the command to get ready, for in 3 days the people should cross the River Jordan into Canaan. This is the context. But the elect of God are to daily lay up more and more supplies of that same spiritual food. That same spiritual food that is only in Christ. Christ, Christ, Christ. That should be our desire. As Paul says in Philippians 3, that I may know more of him, of the excellency that is in Christ. That's our spiritual food. That's our supply for this walk of faith. To know more of Christ. More and more about Jesus would I know. The Lord Jesus, who is the bread of life. And daily you who are his must seek more of him. To have fresh supplies of his grace and mercy. There is nothing else. Fresh supplies of his wisdom and guidance. There is no one else to turn to. To who else shall we go? A wise man of little education, a fisherman, turned and said to the Son of God, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You alone. You have the words to keep us in that way. As you continue on the journey of faith until you reach that spiritual Canaan, which is reached after you cross the Jordan, which prefigures here, I believe, prefigures that which we must pass over unless we are here when the Lord comes again. We must all pass over, as it is appointed for all men to die once, and after this the judgment. So Christ was offered once, not offered to man, offered to God, one sacrifice at the end of the ages. Let's get that correct. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, and he will appear a second time unto those who wait for his coming. This Jordan, these people were about to cross over, is prefiguring this Jordan that we must cross over, that holds no fear for us, but takes us into that promised land. And so we daily look to Christ until that point, until he comes, or if he calls. daily take up for yourself unto its completion the sustaining supply of Jesus Christ in his word. Praying in the true meaning of the words in this prayer, this model prayer. Give us this day our daily Lord Jesus. Our daily bread. He's the bread of life. Do we really believe that this Lord's Prayer is just talking about a meal? Father, give me, show me more of your Son. That's our prayer. And this is what the preacher of the Word of God, this is what these officers were told to command these people to take the provision that they needed. And we, if we are tasked with this awesome responsibility of preaching the Word of God, that is the thing, to point to Christ, to continually point to Christ. This is what the true servant of God in preaching the word of God will do. Instructs you to feed on Christ constantly. Pointing you to behold the Son of God in his word. We read in 1 Corinthians 10, 3 to 4 of this being prefigured in the wilderness with the Israelites being fed and watered. And did all eat the same spiritual meat? And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Christ is our daily sustenance. And we need more of him. You who have taken of the spiritual bread. And you know yourself to have everlasting life. This spiritual bread, who is Christ your shepherd, are to lay up to yourselves daily his sustenance that he prepares for you in those pastures green. Looking unto Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Him sustaining you to reach your destination, which you will. If he's begun this good work in you, he will complete it unto the day of Christ. The destination, the heavenly Canaan. Have you embarked on that journey? Have you been called to that journey? Do you have life? Do you have life? True spiritual life, eternal life in Christ? Have you fed on Christ? The bread of life. He who believes on me shall never hunger. Never hunger, never thirst. Are you being made to hunger and thirst after that which you don't have, righteousness with God? Oh, you're a blessed one right now. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, because you know this is not a forlorn thing. This is not something that is unattainable. If you are brought to hunger it now, you shall be filled. And you shall continually be filled with that which sustains you unto completion to enter the glory. Believe on Christ now and know yourself truly, truly to be on your way to that amazing promised land